you're not Monday. So right away, you got a smile. The world's a little better. You're beaming. You're gleaming. Your other eames that I don't know about. Welcome to the 16th of October, meaning officially passing the test. October can drive now.
Yeah!
We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy places. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that took an extra long weekend to get into all kinds of trouble, but that's okay. He can always talk himself out of it. That's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
I am just a figment of your imagination.
Oh, is that how that goes? All right, fine. Me, I'm the guy that brightens up the world everywhere. That's why there's always a universal greeting for me whenever I'm around. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I want Billy Flynn.
There it is! Unsolicited third-party testimony. What happened this fine day, sir?
Well, we all do. In fact, there's a petition going around. In 1843, Irish mathematician Sir William Rowan Hamilton conceives of the concept of quaternions, non-commutative extensions of complex numbers. Of course, quaternions are also all over the place. They're basically like vermin in outside Castle Grayskull.
Oh, I thought they were one of the smaller islands in Gulliver's Travels. 1923, the Walt Disney Company is founded by Walt Disney and his brother Roy Disney.
Never heard of it. 1927, the first evidence of Peking Man, a well-preserved left lower molar, is uncovered by Swedish paleontologist Birger Bolin at a large-scale archaeological dig in caves outside Zukhidoeden Cave outside Peking. A well-preserved, nearly complete skull of an adolescent will be excavated at the same site in 1929.
So look forward to that one, kids. 1928, a patent was issued for the first electric light bulb frosted on the inside with sufficient strength for commercial handling.
1951, the first motion picture in the U.S. of The Inside of a Living Heart, a cinematographic study of the function of the mitral valve in situ, is shown at a clinical session of the New York Academy of Medicine postgraduate fortnightly. Man, it must have been tough getting the full crew in there.
1956, Fortran, the first high-level computer language, is released by IBM team leader John W. Backus, who also went on a three-hour tour.
Sadly, Fortran means something very different now.
Yep.
1964, People's Republic of China detonates its first nuclear weapon, becoming the fifth country with nuclear arms after the United States.
Not that anyone's counting. 1982, Halley's Comet is observed on its 30th recorded trip past Earth.
1984, Dr. Leonard L. Bailey performs the first transplant of a baboon heart into a human at the Loma Linda University Medical Center in California. Man, it was tough to get the crew in there.
1997, the web copyright law is signed by U.S. President Bill Clinton. An infringement of property valued at $1,000 or more may be prosecuted even if the violator does not profit from the crime.
But things online have no value. Same day, same year, the Robinson family departs from Earth aboard Jupiter 2, aboard the Jupiter 2 spacecraft, and becomes lost in space.
2002, Bibliotheca Alexandria in the Egyptian city of Alexandria, a commemoration of the Library of Alexandria that was lost in antiquity, is officially inaugurated. That's a lot of words for I don't know.
Well done. You got it all in the first shot. I can't even do regular sentences today, apparently. 2012, the extrasolar planet Alpha Centauri BB is discovered.
Unless it's pronounced Bib.
Alpha Centauri BB.
Birthdays?
Erin Brown, 38 years old. I understand that that's her nom de plume is Misty Monday.
Yes.
I think the window washer something.
Manic Monday, dude. Paul Sparks is 47 from Boardwalk Empire, House of Cards.
Flea, 56 years old, from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Back to the Future 2 and 3, Wild Thornberries, and of course, a German nihilist in Big Lebowski, among many other roles.
But she lost a toe. Tim Robbins is 60 years of age, from Howard the Duck, Bull Durham, Eric the Viking, Jacob's Ladder, and oh, that's right, he was in that Green Lantern movie.
Look, if we're going to remember any of his movies that deal with space, let's remember Mars Attacks.
There you go. Good man.
Barry Corbin, 78 years old, from Stir Crazy, War Games, My Science Project, Northern Exposure, No Country for Old Men, and the meme for every J.C. Hutchins conference call.
Very true. No longer with us, born in the state in 1831, Lucy Stanton, an American abolitionist and feminist figure, notable for being the first African-American woman to complete a four-year course of study at a college or university.
1888, Paul Poponi, American founder of Relationship Counseling.
1918, Abraham Nemeth developed a system for blind people to read and write mathematics. It was called the Nemethathon.
Wait, blind people can do math?
Yeah.
1926, Charles Dolan, American businessman, founded Cablevision and HBO.
1928, Anne Morgan Gilbert from The Dick Van Dyke Show, Earth Girls Are Easy, and of course, The Nanny.
on television on CBS. We get a new NCIS FBI and NCIS. Nah.
On ABC, look, it's a new episode of The Conners. Because, you know, Roseanne died. The kids are all right. Blackish splitting up together. And Nathan Fillion is the rookie.
NBC, a new The Voice. This Is Us. Things quickly turn chaotic when Max volunteers New Amsterdam to take over an understaffed hospital nearby New Amsterdam.
On Fox, it's a new episode of The Gifted, and then Stifler uses his CIA training to help out in the new Lethal Weapon.
Man, I'm trying. It's nothing against Stifler, but man, right. I'm trying.
Yeah.
CW, Barry crosses paths with a new foe named Cicada E on a new The Flash, and a new Black Lightning.
Sure. AMC will be showing Army of Darkness, probably the theatrical cut, I'm sure.
There's no telling. BET has the BET Hip Hop Awards 2018 on BET.
Oh, bravo. Riley's actions regarding Chandler puts her into conflict with the deck team on a new Below Deck.
I thought they were on a break. FX, when new secrets are brought to light, it puts the Motorcycle Club at odds on a new Mayans MC.
FXX, The Simpsons, you got your switch hitting Mommy Beerist and Prankster Rap. Eh?
FXM has a delightful movie that you should definitely watch. It's a lot of fun. Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. Dude, Hansel has diabetes from eating the candy house. I love that movie.
IFC will be showing Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Wow. Punctuation's important on titles. BBC America has Men in Black.
Paramount Network, Chalk This Way on a new Ink Master.
Sundance, put another shrimp on the Barbie and celebrate Crocodile Dundee, followed by Crocodile Dundee...
Sure. Tonight, though, we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman's ex-husband presents a business offer she can't reject. But when it puts her in the middle of a divorce between him and his alleged crazy ex-wife, she must figure out who the crazy one really is, even if that means risking her life. Margaret Moreau, Arian Zucker, and Jordan Belfi star in Ex-Wife Killer.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update. Sierra has a romantic dream of Ben, one with bustles and carriages and everything. Gabby advises Chad to have Abby committed. I mean, it's really for the best. I have no ulterior motives of any kind whatsoever. I consulted a real doctor and did not pretend just to be one. Claire suggests to Ben they join forces to break up Trip and Sierra. So Ben readies the carriage. Abby confides to JJ. She thinks Gabby set her up, and JJ says, better or worse than you set her up. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox.
Indeed it is, and when we check it, we find out we have things like this.
Hey, Geek Radio Daily. This is Anna, your friendly university librarian. I was greatly amused to hear the description of the physics preprint collection called ARXIV. It's actually pronounced archive, which is kind of cool. And it's also a really cool site. Pretty much anybody who is doing any research in physics can post the papers that they're going to have published there. And in fact, most physics people look at that before they would look at their journals. So it's like the place to go for cutting-edge physics research. So the archive. Yeah, it's always interesting to me when my worlds cross.
Because worlds can cross, streams cannot. And that's why, if you think about it, an X is really a cross, just sideways, which means something if you're into conspiracy theories. If you'd like to wax poetic about conspiracy theories, by all means, drop us a note at podcast@geekradiodaily.com. You could always send us a voicemail to the magical number of
510-GRD-CROW.
And besides, Arc X is just a really awesome name. That should be a band name. Let's make a band, Anna. Arc X.
Calling all Dungeons & Dragons fans. If you like actual play podcasts, then I urge you to check out a new one. It's called You Meet in a Tavern, starring a halfling monk with a Napoleon complex, an honorable human paladin with an arsenal of horrible impressions, and an animal-loving half-elf druid whose bonds are covalent and mortgage-backed. We're 420-somethings with dull jobs by day, letting our inner nerd kid shine through our first ever D&D 5th edition campaign together. Come listen to our quest on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at YMIA Tavern. That's You Meet in a Tavern, because every good story starts in a bar.
Hello there, boys and girls. This is Robert Llewellyn, the actor behind the mask of Crichton from the BBC television show Red Dwarf, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. You must be very, very clever.
Indeed you are. And you can use that. Isolate that drop and tell whenever everyone tries to put you down, say, look, damn it, one of the best robots the world's ever known said I'm smart. Deal with it.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Nope. But you do, and today is that magic time. What are we adding to our collection, sir?
Well, from our TV aisle, we've got Robin of Sherwood, the complete series.
Black Sails, seasons 1-4.
Ash vs. Evil Dead, the complete series. And, of course, because there's 17 versions, there's even a bobblehead version where you get an Ash bobblehead.
Nice. Documentaries, American Experience, The Eugenics Crusade. That's creepy.
Does that have anything to do with Khan, Noonien, Sung? I'm just curious. Elvis Presley, The Searcher, which I have heard is a fantastic. You think you know everything about Elvis? You'll learn a thing or two, man.
They even have an extra Hamburger James story just for you. Ooh. Must be anime based on title alone, Snow White with the Red Hair. The complete series.
From a re-release aisle, we've got Rise of the Guardians.
We've got Flea starring in The Big Lebowski.
We've also got 12 Monkeys.
The unrated version of A Million Ways to Die in the West. You take your hat off, boy, that's a dollar.
That line is said by Ralph Garman, who works a lot with Kevin Smith and is also a podcaster. But I love that movie. I shouldn't, but I love that movie so much. Weird Science, yes, the classic.
Mallrats, the two versions in one, the actual cut that he was going to release that if you watch it once, you'll never watch it again, and the theatrical one.
Well, and to start off Halloween right, we've got Schlock from 1973.
In our movies department, which sounds like we're starting Halloween off right, is Down a Dark Hall.
Well, yeah, the Start Halloween Off Right aisle, that's all the old stuff. We got the new releases in the movie section.
Oh.
We've got, I know you can't see you're blinded by an end cap. We've also got Afraid.
Reprisal.
Arizona.
This is before they raise it. Ant-Man and the Wasp with one of the better post-credit sequences you'll ever find.
Now, we do not say that Arizona is actually the prequel to Raising Arizona. We don't know. We haven't seen it yet.
I just believe it was made before it. That's all. But we're getting the story of people on vacation at a remote lake house. A mother, her two young daughters, got to fight for their survival after falling into a terrifying and bizarre nightmare conceived by a psychopath. Yvonne Stravinsky, Anna Pawlowski, and Abigail Panowski star in He's Out There.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view, and one from a completely Panowski point of view as well. We so have a thing for classic characters being updated in fascinating ways.
No shit, Sherlock.
That's a great example. And his updaters are working on a miniseries about the world's most famous vampire on Netflix. And the BBC, courtesy of Hartswood Films, the multi-award winning makers of Sherlock, are working on a vampire story.
Blackula?
Well, not yet, but the most filmed character in history, Dracula. It will consist of 3 feature-length episodes and has been written and created by Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss, inspired by Bram Stoker's classic novel. It will reintroduce the world to Dracula, the vampire who, quote, made evil sexy.
Hey, baby, want a neck?
Dracula will begin in Transylvania 1897 with the blood-drinking count drawing up his plans against Victorian London, and be warned, the dead travel fast.
Blah, want to get staked?
Co-creators, writers, and executive producers Moffat and Gatiss said, there have always been stories about great evil. What's special about Dracula is that Bram Stoker gave evil its own hero.
Want to have a bloody good time?
Dracula was commissioned by Moore and Wegner and is written and created by Moffat and Gatiss. Executive producers are Gatiss, Moffat, and Vircher for Hartswood Films, Ben Irving for BBC, and will be handled by Tans for Netflix.
Blair, you're so ill. You've got me coughing.
I mean, how old are you? The series will premiere on BBC One in the UK and on Netflix outside of the UK, except for China, where the service is not available. And I'm interested because of the folks involved. I mean, but please, please do not let it be a procedural. The blah is afoot.
Hey, Flynn, did you see the pic that Jon Favreau shared?
Aw, yeah, baby. It was money, baby.
Yeah, in case, Geeps, you missed it, he shared a pic from the live-action series The Mandalorian. The best one yet. He showed a pic of a rifle. A very particular rifle. You can, if you haven't seen it, take a pic real quick in the shots. Well, wait. Does it look familiar? That, my friends, is known as an Ambin Phase Pulse Blaster. A neat medium-range weapon with a forked prod thing at the end. And based on the promotional image we already have, this might be the primary weapon of the show's mysterious star. Which is awesome, because until this moment, that weapon was not officially canon. If it feels familiar, it should. You have seen it before. It was in the Star Wars Holiday Special. Specifically, it was in the animated segment, The Story of the Faithful Wookiee, which debuted Boba Fett in a costume he repainted before showing up in Empire Strikes Back. That cartoon and Fett were the best things about that holiday special.
Hey, you show some respect for Jefferson Airplane.
They didn't show any respect for themselves. Look, if that thing taught us anything, is that we found out that Diane Carroll really helps an itchy Wookiee. You're welcome, three people. Life Day has been mentioned in some official capacity, and now the rifle. Oh, come on. I'm hoping that a hologram Mark Carney shows up, or at least some musical numbers.
I want more B. Arthur.
Don't we all? You know, time can fly, so it's good night, friend. Good night, but not goodbye.
Hey, PlayStation 4 owners, seems you need to block your messages for a bit. Reddit user started warning others after it was discovered that a private message containing special characters could crash PS4 consoles, and it seems the issue is so severe, it forces users to factory reset their consoles in order to have them working properly. What's more is, you don't even have to open the message. Just receiving the notification can trigger the crash. Still waiting on Sony to respond to the issue, though it's quite likely that we'll see a PS4 system software update meant to rectify this before the next officially slated update that would bring the PSN name change with it. Deleting the offending message from the PlayStation Messenger app on Android and iOS may help as long as you're not logged into PSN on your PS4 at the time. The best way to prevent your PS4 from crashing is to set your messages to private. Go to the Privacy Settings Manager, sign in with your PS4 details, choose Personal Info, Messages, hit Edit next to it, Friends Only or No One, and keep it that way until Sony says that they have fixed it. While issues like this have plagued smartphones in the past, this could very well be the first time we see a console's messaging system exploited. And bad timing, too, because they're about to get Red Dead Redemption 2, Fallout 76, a ton of folks are already playing Call of Duty Black Ops 4, but it could have been worse. It could have made you stuck playing only Bubsy 3D's Spawn the Eternal or Barbie Explorer.
At least they never ported Superman 64 to the PlayStation.
Thank God.
A meteorite that is one of the biggest pieces of the moon ever put up for sale is being auctioned online by a U.S. auction company based in Boston. The moon rock, weighing about 5.5 kilograms, or about 12 pounds, was found last year in a remote area of Mauritania.
It's a shame it wasn't a chunk of moon rock.
It is thought to have plunged to Earth thousands of years ago. Its large size and composition are very unusual. It could fetch around $500,000 when it goes on sale at RR Auction. Hopefully, Banksy doesn't get a hold of it. It is one of the most important meteorites available for acquisition anywhere in the world, the forum said. It is made up of 6 fragments, with the largest piece weighing about 3 kilograms and displays partial fusion crust, a coating created by the heat that sears the rock as it goes through the atmosphere. A natural history museum may be the obvious buyer for such an item, but RR says private collectors may see this as a unique opportunity to own a piece of the moon. Currently, the high bidder is Chippendale Industries. Their CEO, Chairface Chippendale, was unavailable for comment. Neither were 2 small forest woodland creatures.
Beer. It's pretty much good anytime. I mean, especially as we're now approaching Oktoberfest. And of course, since Halloween's around the corner, you get quite a few pumpkin beer options as well. It was kind of weird when that first started happening, but most brewing companies now have their own pumpkin beers. But it's not the only Halloween beer on tap. The Westallion Brewing Company in West Allis, Wisconsin is now serving up their own home-brewed Halloween beer for the month of October, brewed to taste like candy corn.
Like a chai vanilla latte brewed 500 years ago and left in a hot car since the Reformation?
I don't think it's that fresh. The views presented by PRS do not accurately represent the thoughts and views of GRD, although I think they should. The company announced, when you want to make a seasonal beer but think outside the box, candy corn cream ale is born. The beer was brewed to smell and taste like candy corn with notes of vanilla and cream. Not overly sweet and very well balanced. The beer will take you back to your childhood and remind you, hey, I'm really drinking a beer. Candy corn is
easy. Like your childhood.
Candy corn is easily the most polarizing of all Halloween candies, even more so than that awful monster candy, with many feeling that it's absolutely disgusting, and they're right, and doesn't deserve to be considered the mascot for all Halloween candy. It doesn't. Not surprisingly, the news of Westallion's candy corn cream ale has not been received very well by the candy corn haters of America, because that's a thing. And I've got a badge. They feel it's a total abomination. So candy corn beer?
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
And we got to be sure. I'm sorry. If you like candy corn, that's on you. GRD is licensed with the Creepy Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 96 3.0 license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. And stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And yeah.
I don't like it, but I can't turn it down if it's offered.
I can. Oh, well, I'll take it and see how many times I can skip those little bitches. That's what I do. But hey, look, if you like candy corn and you want to tell me how I'm wrong and I'm not appreciating the subtle nuances and flavors, by all means, drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com.
Describe what it tastes like to us. Convince us.
Or if you'd like to eat some live and we can hear what your reaction to it is, do that by dialing the magical voicemail number of
510-GRD-CRAB.
Let's see how much of that you can hold down. That'll be a good one. Ugh, I don't even think about candy corn coming back. Ah!
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Sir, you better get on the headset.
Yeah.
General, the machine has locked us out. It's sending random numbers to the silos.
It's gonna hit the codes to launch the missiles.
Just unplug the goddamn thing.
Jesus Christ. That won't work, General.
It would interpret a shutdown as the destruction of NORAD. The computers in the silos would carry out their last instructions they've lost.
Well, can we disarm the missiles?
Over 1,000 of them. There's no time. At this rate, it'll hit the launch codes in 5.3 minutes.
Mr. McKittrick, after very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your new defense system sucks.
I don't have to take that, you pig-eyed sack of shit.
No. I was hoping for something a little better than that from you, sir, a man of your education.
General, it's the president.
Well, what are you going to tell him?
I'm ordering our bombers back to fail safe. We might have to go through this thing after all.